countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing 295,000 readers the latest farming news and the best of rural Ireland weekly.
Well, aside from Brexit, one of the other massive challenges facing us all, and farmers in particular, is meeting climate change targets. And this week, the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, launched a national climate and air roadmap for the agricultural sector. It's entitled Ag Climatise. The roadmap sets out an ambitious vision for a climate-neutral agriculture sector by the year 2050. It's received mixed reaction, and with me now is Fran McNulty, who's RTE's Agriculture and Consumer Affairs correspondent. Fran, good morning.
Morning, Damien.
So what is this Ag Climatise strategy all about?
It's about making a plan, putting something on paper, Damien, that looks at reducing emissions in the agri sector. It is the source of 35% of all greenhouse gas emissions in Ireland. Many of our listeners will probably be familiar with the Chagas-Mack curve. It sounds technical, but it's an abatement cost curve, and it looked at a range of issues. Anyone who's read that or read about it over the years will be familiar with a lot of the terminology and some of the measures that are addressed in this new plan from Charlie McConnellogue. Ag Climatise talks about a 20% reduction in nitrogen use, 10% cut in ammonia emissions. It aims to double the amount of lime which we're spreading on our land. And low-emission slurry spreading technology is really going to be dramatically ramped up. It's setting a target of 90% of slurry being applied by low-emission means by 2027. Now, Damien, it's 22 pages long. It also deals with feed, breeding, biomethane, enhanced organics, biodiversity, and a range of other measures that will help in this fight against reducing greenhouse gases. But what I suppose farmers and rural dwellers are looking at are the changes in practice, the changes in housing needed, the change in equipment, the fact that there could be more scrutiny, more red tape, and many of them are really beginning to ask now, how is all of this going to tie into the new cap and into the various payment schemes as well?
Yeah, it sounds like a national, I suppose, version of the EU Green Deal Farm to Fork proposal, which was published earlier this year. Now, there are, of course, two main groups that will react that are very close to this, stakeholders that would have been consulted, I'm sure, in the lead up to this announcement last week, along with the public consultation. And they are obviously farmers and environmental organisations. Let's start with the environmentalists. What have they said in reaction to this, Fran?
Well, in four words, Damien, they are not happy. Many of them are saying it just doesn't go far enough at all. The environmental pillar, which is one of the bigger groups and the more representative groups, it went as far as to say that this plan, and I'll quote what they say, it perpetuates business as usual practices that will continue to wreak havoc on our environment. That's what they said in their opening statement about this. They're saying that it does welcome certain aspects of the roadmap, like the promotion of organic farming. There are commitments in there to improve national food security and to increase farm-led carbon capture. But it said the plan is completely insufficient. Environmental groups, they do have a concern that if the issues around agriculture and the emissions from agriculture aren't dealt with radically, and they always use the word radically, Damien, they say then if that doesn't happen, the emissions reduction targets for 2030, which are recommitted to in this plan, they may not be met. And they're saying then that overall reach, which is a big one, of carbon neutral, having a carbon neutral economy by 2050, they say that also could be at risk if something radical doesn't happen. And they've said that the plan calls for the stabilisation of methane emissions, and they're saying it should actually call for outright reductions in methane emissions. And any plan that doesn't do that, Damien, simply won't cut it with the environmental lobby. And that phrase, stabilisation of methane emissions, has proved as a bit of a sticking point from their perspective over the past couple of days.
OK, and what about the farmers, in particular the representative organisations? What have they been saying?
Mixed. Not surprisingly, they do have a very different take on things to the environmental lobby. The agriculture lobby is saying that the IFA in particular, it immediately began to point out all that was been done in the sector. They pointed to the fact that agri emissions were actually down last year. Tim Cullinan had a right cut at people who were talking about reducing the national herd. He went on the news at one on the day Charlie McConnellogue published this document, and he said there was no such thing as a national herd. He said rather there were individual farmers who were trying to make money, and he said they needed to be helped to improve efficiency of animals, and that would help in turn to reduce emissions. Look at productivity and look at increasing efficiency. Of course, Damien, he's wrong. There is a national herd. There are more than 7.5 million cattle in the country, and they do make the sector the single biggest contributor to greenhouse gas emissions. Animals are the bulk of that figure. And Tim Cullinan putting out a statement saying that people shouldn't get sidetracked by the herd reduction debate. Damien, we know that this becomes a separate argument, though, when you start to talk about how we don't really have an industrialised base here, that there's a really, we have a heavy dependence in agriculture, and that does skew the figure somewhat. And I suppose the ICMSA really took a different tack to the IFA. Pat McCormack came out and said that the president of the ICMSA said that plan was premised on a basic delusion that all of the change that our farming and food production system needs could happen from the supermarket loading bay back to the farm. Pat McCormack said that that is a fundamental mistake. He said, and because that had happened, it ensured that the plan wouldn't get the kind of buy-in it needs to make it work. But most farmers you talked on the ground know that change is coming. They see it. They read about it every day. They listen to it on the radio on a regular basis. They know that pressure is on to deal with emissions. And many of them are already taking steps to deal with that. I mean, you've seen it. I've seen it out on farms. They want to see real measurement of their contribution to carbon capture. They feel that what they do already in their hedgerows, in their planting, and all the various things they have on their land isn't measured. And they say that if all of that was being measured in addition to all of the various measures like increasing efficiency and reducing emissions from cattle and other animals, that would help create balance, and they see that that balance really isn't there.
Okay, and just finally, Fran, you touched on a phrase there which has entered the lexicon in recent times, industrial agriculture. It'd be good to get a quantify exactly what that means in an Irish context. But we do know that the dairy herd has increased by some 400 head over the last 5 years since the abolition of milk quotas. And we do know, as you say, that 80% of pollution from agriculture, or indeed emissions, or the carbon from agriculture, is in the form of methane emissions. And this is the bogey in the room, I suppose, the increase in the dairy herd. Are we looking at any stage, do you think, Fran, in the terms of stabilising the methane emissions, at probably another quasi form of capping the amount of animals that dairy farmers can have? In other words, reintroducing a local form of quotas?
It's something which the farming organisations don't want to touch at all, Damien. In fact, we interviewed the minister about this up in Donegal when the plan was being launched earlier in the week. And we explicitly asked him about herd reduction, about the possibility of it, about kind of how he would see herd numbers in 2030 if all of this was to be met. And he simply said that the plan is premised on stabilising livestock numbers. Like, there has been criticism of the fact that it hasn't called for targeted reductions or reductions in any respect. What the plan does do, it actually says that all of this can only happen if those numbers are stabilised. And it says that a continually increasing livestock numbers, it simply can't work. And that is kind of where the issue is. Many people feel privately, if you talk to them, that something along that those lines is probably coming. And that's where a lot of the criticism for this plan has come from. I think, Damien, what it's about, really, this plan is about easing people in. Now, environmentalists would say the time for easing people in is way gone. But if you look at the debate around this, Damien, it can sometimes be very toxic. You're either for or against. Farmers are demonised, environmentalists are disregarded. But it's not black and white. Richard Starrett, who's a very highly regarded dairy farmer up in Donegal, said to us during the week, farmers don't want to destroy the environment. They want to be custodians of the land. Okay. They want to protect it and hand it back. And what this document is about is beginning that debate, beginning a discussion, and trying to get both sides to face up to the reality that there needs to be change, and to target exactly what that change needs to be.
All right. Fran McNulty, RTE's Agriculture and Consumer Affairs correspondent, thank you so much for bringing us up to date on that document launched this week.
RTE Radio 1. Countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing 295,000 readers the latest farming news and the best of rural Ireland weekly.